Praise God, and welcome to Revival Today with Pastor Mark Choate. Today's message is Keep on the Alert. I pray that you enjoy it. Thank you.
We're living in a day where there's a lot of things going on, and the church has to be mindful what is to come. Even in the day of the biblical days, they were preaching about Jesus was coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. But I need to get us to wake up and hear what God is truly saying today. Are you okay with that? Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. And I'm going to just kind of slow things down for you, because I have a word that I believe is going to be a blessing to your heart. When I say the word keep on the alert, it means to prepare for what is coming. Turn to somebody and say, prepare for what is coming. That means there's something that's coming that only God knows, and that the only thing that's going to help you be ready is the Holy Ghost. When Jesus went away, he said to the disciples, he said, I'm going away, but I'm leaving with you something special, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you in all truth. Someone say all truth. All truth is only to understand that God is saying that the church must be prepared for what is coming. So if you turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience, and be careful instructions. Someone say that? Careful instructions. When the word says to prepare, it's saying that we have to be ready for something. And you have to understand that when John the Baptist was here, he was preaching before Christ, and he said, listen, prepare, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was telling people to get ready. Now, generation after generation, a lot of us that grew up in church, and those that are watching online, or those that have been in church or not in church, the world, you have people on the corner saying, Jesus is coming. How many of you have seen that before? And then to this day, you still see the same thing going on. And because of this, I need to talk about it, because I want to be intimate with you. And I want you to understand that when God says to prepare, don't you know that there's a day of judgment coming for each and every one of us? And what the enemy's job is to do is to steal and kill the promises that God has for you. So he wants to get in the plan of God. And because he wants to get in the plan of God, don't you know that your environment is not safe unless you're prepared for what's going to come at you? So look at the scripture here. If you can turn with me to Matthew 24. 42 and 43. But before I get there, when it says prepare in season and out of season, how many of you understand how the game of football work? When they prepare for football games, don't you know they prepare in the rain, in the snow? They prepare in the different weather, climate. Why is that? Because they're preparing for a battle, a game that's going to be a game that you're going to have to perform even in inclement weather. That means you have to learn how to still fight back when things don't go your way. And this is where God is taking me today, because he's saying to the body that we have not put on our war clothes. We have not prepared ourselves in season and out of season. What we do is we prepare for a day. We prepare for an event. But God is saying, how about prepare for a greater day than this? So when it says here, and it says to prepare, how does it tell you to prepare in season and out of season? And the word says correct, rebuke, and encourage. Now, the thing that we have to understand about them three words, correct, rebuke, and encourage means that sometimes God will correct you. Sometime he's going to rebuke you. What does it mean by rebuke? It means when God says, stop doing it. It's when God says, listen, I want you to understand, if you say I'm your heavenly father, then you're going to listen to me when I sit you down. So this is where I'm going with the word, because being prepared means that it's not about your comfort, church. Those that are watching online, being prepared is not about your comfort. It's about being ready for something that's going to come, without you being knowing the day. So you have to just always be ready. So let's go into Matthew 24:42. Give God some praise. It says, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. Now, this is a scripture that Paul was preaching and Jesus was preaching. He was saying this is that when Paul was telling the disciples after Jesus left, he said, listen, we are not done yet. Too many times it seems like the church has already felt like they already got everything in. But God is saying, you're not done yet. Your situation, you're not done yet. Your family, God is not done yet. But what we have to do is God says you got to put your war clothes on, because I need to prepare you for something greater than what you have ever experienced before. Yes, yes. And so in the scripture is saying that the head of a household does not know when the thief is coming. Next scripture, turn with me. We're going to take our time. The next scripture that I'm reading from is Luke 21:36. It says, but keep on the alert at all times. How do you have to keep on the alert? Praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. It says, prepare at all times so that you can stand. Some of us are going through some things. We're going through some emotional battles. We're going through some psychological battles. We're going through some financial battles. But in the scripture, it says, prepare at all times and learn to be able to be strengthened. Why is it that in the scriptures, you'll see so many scriptures that says, learn to know that you have strength, be encouraged. They wouldn't have to put them words in there if it wasn't going to be an issue. So church, I want you to understand that you're not on a journey in this life all by yourself. You don't have to bear the pain all by yourself. You don't have to be alone, said the Lord. He said, I'm with you at all times. But right now, too many of us have taken our relationship, and those that are watching and those that are not saved, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the way. But how can he be the way if the church is dead? How can he be the way if people are no longer driven by the word of God? They're driven by a form of godliness. That means they're driven by what they know. But I remember back in the day when Jesus was being challenged by the church, he was always rebuking them. What does it mean by the word rebuke? He was telling them, listen, you're wrong. I know you know scripture. A lot of people know scripture. A lot of people know what it's supposed to be, but very few are living what God is requiring of them. God is on your side, but he said, I want you to prepare and stand before the Son of Man. When we say stand before the Son of Man, that means you have to hold on to something. You got to keep and maintain some things. You have to maintain your peace, church. Too many of us are not at peace anymore. Too many of us are fighting a spiritual warfare. We're trying to fight it with things, with substances, with conversation with one another. But God is saying, let me get in for a minute. Let me minister to your heart for a minute, and I'll show you how to stand. Because we're living in a time right now, even with this pandemic, we're open, we're closed, we're open, we're closed. And some are saying, Lord, I can't get my footage. I can't get on solid ground. But God is saying, I need you in a private place where I can minister to you for yourself. Church, we need one another. But most of all, you need God. And when I say you need God, you need to understand. I need to understand that preparation is important. So I have a little thing I'm going to get ready to end with. If you turn with me to Hosea, I want you to first understand that your blessings are coming. Turn to someone and say, my blessing is coming. I want you to understand that the enemy is going to try to hold them up. He is going to try to hold your blessing. He's going to try to keep it from you. He's going to try to distract you. Because he doesn't want you to see the joy of the Lord. He doesn't want you to receive the blessings that are coming. So he's going to try to distract you and get you in a place where you say, you know what, is it worth it? I even been praying to myself lately, and I said, Lord, I don't want to be in ministry for the game. If people don't want it, then I'm good. But Lord, send me those that truly want to be ready, that truly want to get a word of encouragement, that truly want to be on the side and in the plan of God, because they're saying, I don't need to be with the masses. I just need to know what is the Lord saying for my life. That's why when the scripture says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, means this, is that somebody got to get the hustle on. Somebody got to get ready for something. These days we come to church, we go to events, and now we don't even want to dress up or get ready for nothing. We want to get out of bed and just go as we are. But I need you to know that God said, I'm about to change in somebody. I'm about changing a life. I'm about changing a mind. I'm about changing a heart. So if you don't want to change, you're in the wrong place. God is saying, I'm trying to change you because I'm trying to get you ready for the day when the Son of Man comes. And that means it's not about my opinion. No, it's not about your opinion. It's about how you live. Look at the scripture, Hosea. The scripture says here that in Hosea 12:4, it says, Jacob struggled with the angel and prevailed. And he wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with him. The Bible, those of you that don't know, Jacob was the one that stole the birthrights of his brother Esau. His father Isaac was blind and didn't know which son he was handing over the birthright to. So for about 20 years, Esau was mad at his brother Jacob because Jacob taken off and he taken the birthrights, the inheritance. Now Jacob is in a struggle because, you know, he lied for his blessing. He conned. And so in the scripture that I'm going to read next is going to take that. And this is what happened. Jacob began to pray before the Lord and said, you know, Lord, bless me. I know I've done wrong. I know I fought for the birthright. I've taken the birthright. But, Lord, I need blessings now. Don't you know sometimes we position ourselves where we do things out of strife and out of envy? Even in the church, we do things that hurt. But what God is saying is this. He wants you to put aside your pain and get on the plan of God. If you go along with your pain that's in your heart, your blessings are going to be held up. So right here in the scripture, it says, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was rent as he wrestled with him. The man is the angel. Jacob was wrestling with an angel, didn't even know it. And check this out, what it says. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. So he wrestled with the angel all night because the angel had his blessing. Check what it says. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Turn to somebody and say, Lord, I will not let you go. Because I want you to speak to somebody until you bless me. How many want a blessing right now? It says that he replied. He began to say, I cannot let you go, for it is daybreak, the angel said. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Then the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. The next scripture says, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Now, this is NIV. It says you have struggled with God. Now, when you see in this scripture where it says in man, what does that say in church? That your blessing can be held up. Sometime God will allow it to be held up. The enemy will come and try to take what God is sending to you. But also, he had to wrestle with man. Some of us are wrestling with friends and family and loved ones, and we're trying to debate our way into righteousness. And when you get like that, you don't understand that the enemy is trying to hold up your blessing. And instead of you understanding that it's not them, but it's the enemy trying to get in your way so that you don't get what God has promised to you. And so now what we do is we murmur and we complain and we say, Lord, you were never there for me. Lord, why am I not an overcomer? Like Jacob, he fought all night until it was daybreak. And the angel got tired. The angel even wounded him because the angel said, I need to get away from this crazy man. Some of us need to get crazy for God again. We're no longer excited about the things of God, but yet we want everyone to be excited about our stuff. But I need you to know that only what you do for Christ is going to last. It doesn't matter. When I look at the church, remember, it was filling up and we had people outside the door. And then the pandemic came. And now we got to juggle and we got to manage in between all this. We shut down for 2 weeks. And when we shut down, some said to me, why would you do that? You're losing the flow of things. You got to be concerned about, can you afford to stay up? No, no, no. What I'm doing is about you. It's about your safety. What I'm doing is about hearing from God sometime. It's not about money. It's not about what you're giving. No, it's about learning how to hear from God and be in the right way with him, because he is trying to work some things out. So right now during this time, you have to understand that you got to wrestle with man sometime. Also, sometime you got to wrestle with the angel and say, Lord, I know the enemy is trying to tie up my blessing. Even when the angel's trying to bring it to you, he pulls it back because he's like, oh, no, you're the wrong one. How bad do you want to be ready? God is saying that the church and that people, we're no longer at a place in our spiritual life where we want to be ready. We just want to know. And that's why the scripture said that the head of a household, if they knew the day that the thief was coming, they would be prepared. You know how we do. Oh, I'm going to get my guns. We're going to have one at the window, one at the door. Well, maybe we'll put someone on the roof. See how you prepare? See how you get ready? Because you know the day. But Jesus says that I'm coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. And he said, I'm going to come like the thief in the night. And the reason why he comes this way, you know why? Because just in the scripture I just told you about, guess what? When you know something, then you prepare. But how about when you just do it because you love him? He doesn't want those that come lately. He wants those that prepare and say, I'm going to be ready when he comes. I'm going to live this life. I know that he given it to me, but now I'm giving myself back to God. And I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to live my life with integrity. I'm going to live my life with honor. I'm going to live my life with righteousness. How many of you want to do that today? Give God some praise. God shows up where you are. He's in the house right now. I don't need anyone else's fire or excitement. I just need to know, does he love me? I just need to know that he's going to give me another chance. I just need to know that, Lord, I want to be ready. But I want to know what I need to do. And God has said to the people that, listen, to be on alert. And the reason why he's not giving you the time or the day or the hour is because he says, I want you to just be ready. That means I want you to live every day as if I'm coming that day. Because too many people try to only get ready for events. And God is saying, I don't want you to get ready for an event. I want you just to be prepared. And prepared means that you are already, regardless what time of night it may be, you already have your clothes on. You already have your weapons cocked. You already have things ready to go. Because when you're like that, guess what? No one can catch you off guard. The church is off guard because we want to get caught up in isms and schisms. And God is saying, get rid of the mess. He said, get rid of the jealousy. Get rid of the hate and the hurt that you have in your heart with your brother or sister. I was almost at a place in my life a while back where I said, Lord, I really don't want to be in the church. And you said, why would you get like that, Pastor? I said, because people that say they're saved and love God don't have your back. I'm not seeing the church trustworthy. I said, why should I be the only one trying to be trustworthy? And God began to show me in my spirit. And I said, because I need you to understand, it's about you. God began to minister to my heart and said, listen, you have to work out your own soul salvation. You cannot murmur and complain and say, well, no one wants it like that. Nobody wants to know Jesus like that. But the Bible says broad is a way that leads to destruction, but narrow is a way that leads to life. I need you to understand that. Guess what? Everybody can't walk that walk. So why are you tripping? God is saying, are you just listening and preparing and saying, Lord, I'm going to be ready regardless. If we have two people in a church, I need to be able to preach to just them because every soul matters. Every life matters. Every situation matters. And you got to wrestle for yourself. Somebody might tell you they don't care about what you feel. But God is saying, learn to fight and learn to wrestle for your blessing. So let's wrap it up with this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had an awesome praise. Is that right? I thank God for the praise. But now I'm asking God for the atmosphere right now. Some of you, some of us have lost our fire. And the thing about fire is this, is anybody that sits next to somebody that's on fire is going to get burnt. I need you to know that some of us don't have no fire anymore. So people get close to you, they're not feeling anything because you don't have the fire of faith anymore. And God is saying that we have to wake up and live by faith. How many of you want to live by faith? If you're living by faith, look what we're going through right now. I know it feels like you're in a desert and you're experiencing, you're going through where there's dry bones, but God is saying, can you still see me in the situation, working it out in your favor? So go ahead and read these scriptures. We're going to read from Psalms 103, 1 through 10. Go ahead.
Psalm 103, 1 through 10.
And what is this? This is the benefits. I want you to know you have benefits, but you have to wrestle and fight back and most of all be ready. Go ahead and read it.
Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Now it's saying David began to sing a song of praise before the Lord, and he said, I praise the Lord with all my soul. But, Lord, I forget not your benefits. What are the benefits that you're experiencing now? Some of us don't even know our benefits. So when God is blessing you, you're not holding on to your blessing because you don't even recognize that you have some benefits already. And so you just see the hurt, you see the pain, and you don't see that you're living in your benefits. Go ahead and read.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases?
This is a question. Who? Go ahead.
Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion?
See, right there. He said, I change your life. I save you from the pit of hell. And what I give you, love and compassion. This is what the church is supposed to be. It doesn't feel like the church wants to love each other. Like when the scripture says that sometimes he rebukes, he chastises, but he loves as well. So the thing is in the scripture, it says, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? That's a benefit of God. He heals you. He's dealing with your diseases and sickness. Go ahead.
Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle.
See right there. He satisfies your life with good things. Now this is where I'm ready to wrap it up is this. Is too many of us cry and say to ourselves that it's no good. My life is not good. The reason why it's not good is because you're not putting on your war clothes. You don't understand that you got to fight for some stuff. You got to hold on to it and you got to say, Lord, I'm not letting it get away, because that's how much I need it. And God is saying to the church is that sometimes you got to fight all night long. Sometimes you got to cry, but then you got to get up and fight for what is yours. In order to fight for what is yours, you have to know how to be in shape. And so when the scripture says be prepared at all times, some of us just cry all the time. And God is saying, I need you to get up, get in shape, lift some weights, get out of bed, and change. And change cannot happen until you first say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to what is mine. I'm going to hold on to what God has already blessed me with. I'm not going to let no devil in hell take my blessing. My blessings are my children. My blessing is my job. My blessing is my mind. My blessing is my faith. My blessing is my God. And this is what God is saying. These are my benefits for you. You got to heal it. Some of us are trying to read books and read all kind of stuff. And God is saying, why don't you talk to me for a little while and get out of religion and just get to know me. Just get to love me. Then God is saying, I am bigger than your problems. You have to see this, church. I need you to understand that Jacob, he fought all night with an angel. That tells you how desperate he was for a favor, for his blessing. How desperate are you? Are you just going to go to the drugs and alcohol? Are you going to just go into perversion? No, God said, get so desperate that you get off your feet and get on your knees and say to the Lord, Lord, I need to be ready for you. When you come back, I want to be ready. When you come back, I want to love you. I want to admire you. Some are not going to be with you. Some are not going to be in your corner. Sometimes you got to fight with those that are saved. You got to fight with the world too. But God is saying to you, are you ready to fight back and live by faith so that your blessing is always yours? You're not going to lose it because you said to the Lord, Lord, send the angel. Send the angel, and when he comes, I'm going to take what you got for me. I'm not going to let even the angel have it back. So when Jacob fought all night, he had problems because he stole his brother's birthright. But now he realized, I have to fight to keep what I got. And that's what you have to do. How many of you are ready to fight to keep what you got? Go ahead and finish up. Let us all stand.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed.
See, now look at this. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the what?
Oppressed.
We're living in a time where people don't want to understand other people's pain. Even the church. Sometimes I feel like the church is heartless. But I thank God because Jesus, he looks at the oppressed. He looks at your pain. He looks at your hurt. He wants to know your story. He wants to get in a corner with you and let you release into him. He wants to know your story. He wants to know your story. You see, some of us cry and say, no one will talk to us. And God is saying, you're talking to everybody, but you're not talking to me. That's why you're not getting met where you're at. Because he said, I want to know your story. And when you release the information, guess what? He said, I'm there for the oppressed. And I have compassion and love for you. Go ahead and finish reading.
He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
See that right there? It says, the Lord is what? I want you to say that, compassionate and gracious. Say that with me, compassionate.
Compassionate and gracious.
And what? All right, see that right there? Go ahead. And then what was the next thing you said before that?
Slow to anger.
Slow to anger. Church. Slow to anger. We got a lot of mean people. Church be mean. Mean. And they build on that and they think it's righteousness. We got mean people right now. The world is full of mean people. The church is looking mean because no one's prepared for Christ. They're prepared for everything else. But right here, he says he's compassionate. In love and slow to anger. Go ahead.
Abounding in love, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities.
See that? He doesn't repay you according to your iniquities. When it says that, he's not counting up your faults. We can never be that saved. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have sinned. I've got things in my life I'm asking God all the time to help me with. But what God is saying, stop looking at everyone else's fault. Stop looking to have a conversation with your story. And learn to now fight for your blessings. He said, fight for your blessings. Because he knows your name. Your blessing has your name on it.
Well, praise God. I hope that you were blessed by the word today. Remember, keep on the alert. The enemy is going to always try to strategize against you. I pray that you've been enjoying these words that are on Revival Today. If you would like to be a blessing to our ministry, please go to houseofpraisenep.org and click on give, and you can give to this ministry. Please, we need your support. Also, we would like you to come visit us when you're in the Manchester, New Hampshire area. We're at 1850 Elm Street. Services start at 10 a.m. Praise God. I hope to see you soon. Have a great day.